Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
Great to be home. Who knows, it's hard to find a good bed on the road. I said to someone the other day, I don't know what we paid for that bed that we have at home, but it's worth every cent. Best bed on the planet. Amen. Yeah, well, hey, Thursday was a good day. Who went to an Anzac service on Thursday? Amen. I tell you, Highway always lays three reefs at three services on the coast. And at Coomera, we do morning tea for all the vets and those that attend that service. And I've got to tell you, I went around and talked to a few of the vets that were sitting there, and they love our scones. I love it. It's timeless. Our scones are timeless. They love our scones. Actually, the scones went. Where's Joey? Is she around? There she is. The scones just went, didn't they? You know, the scones and jam and cream and that, they just went. But, you know, it's good to honour. It's good to honour those who have served us, whether we know them or not. Makes no difference. They gave their life. They're still serving. Those that are still in uniform and those that have finished their service but are still with us, you know, we need to honour them. And I love what happens in the States, you know, it's ingrained in their culture to honour the service men and women. And if you're boarding a plane, you know, they put the children on, the families on, and those people that really don't need a wheelchair but they get one, just so they can get to the front and push. I said to Annie, I said, you know what, we need to get ourselves a couple of those wheelchairs. But then, you know, they honour the service men and women. They said, if you're, you know, a serving member of the military, please come forward and you get seated, you know. It's just a nice touch. I think as Aussies, we don't do a lot of that, you know. And so Thursday was a great day to honour and respect. And I've got the wrong message here. It was a good one, you've heard it. But also, Joey, thanks for your team and the volunteers and that do that. They're so faithful. Yeah, give them a... Great serving heart in our church, you know, it's wonderful. And of course, Annie and I were away at a memorial of Pastor Jim Cabray. Pastor Jim was, Anne and I were very close to Jim and Deb. And they've been great friends of ours for over 15 years, like probably 20 by now. But they just had such an impact upon our lives and upon this church, because a lot of, you know, their voice into our hearts, you know, was reflected in the vision and where Highway is today. So it was a great memorial service. I mean, if you want to finish well, I mean, this man finished well. And so that's all we can ask and hope for. And of course, Highway is bigger today. My life is bigger today because Jim's influence in it. But, you know, lately we've been talking about making room. You know, Annie received a word at the beginning of this year about making room, and we've been doing that. And I don't know who chose the worship songs today, but they were on point. They were on point. You know, it was about Jesus as the message. Jesus is the answer. And we are challenged to make room. And there's seasons in the kingdom of God, you know, and the season we're in right now is one of reaching out and a great season to make room for the harvest, to make room for the lost to be found and the broken to be healed and just to fulfill the great commission that Jesus gave us. I mean, that's all we're here for, really. That's why we exist, to fulfill the great commission. And over the last few messages, I've been speaking out of Matthew 9, 37, 38. And it says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field.'" And as I've shared with you before, it occurred to me that when I first read that passage of Scripture, and it came alive to me that they don't send children out to reap a harvest. They send adults. And when we look at that in a spiritual context, they're not sending spiritual babies out to the Great Commission to fulfill that. No, they're sending the spiritually mature. The spiritually mature who understand it, who get it, who see beyond what the normal person sees, and they see the harvest. And I've noticed that the difference between the mature and the immature is that the mature have a plan to get the job done. The mature believer, the spiritually mature, have a plan to get the job done. They're intentional. They're deliberate. They live with purpose. They have a direction. Amen? Kids don't have that. Kids just want food and an iPhone. That's all kids want. But adults have a plan. They have a plan to get the job done. And I ask you today, do you have a plan? What's your plan? As a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of Christ, what's your plan? What's your plan to win the lost, to fulfill the Great Commission? Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 19, says, "When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in and attacked against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commissioned to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose." We need to develop a plan today. We need to develop a plan today. Number one, you've got to be where they are. You've got to be where they are. In verse 19, it says, "When the owners realized that their hope of making money was gone," and incidentally, you know their crime? They sent a demon-possessed girl, a slave. They sent a demon-possessed slave girl free. That was their crime. That's our humanity. When we can set someone free, and it's an offense. Amen? Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? They were set free. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. See, these guys were sent on a mission to build a church. They were sent out from the apostles, you know, to go out and you know, to build the church. And they went to the synagogues. They were Jews. They went to the, you know, their church on the Saturday that the Jews have it in the synagogues. And you know, they preached their message about Jesus, and they spoke. And, yeah, they would have had a measure of success. Preaching Jesus through from Adam all the way down to their present day, they would have had some success. But you see, God had another plan for them to build the church. And I love the terminology. It says here in this passage of Scripture that they were dragged into the marketplace. They were dragged into the marketplace. It was as if God was saying, hey, boys, look, and you're going to get a measure of people saved in the church, but I've got a bigger plan for you. I've got a marketplace that I want you to go into. I've got a marketplace I want you to take my message of hope and love and freedom and set those captives free. Amen? They were dragged into the marketplace so they could be where they are. You must understand, God will use every avenue possible to reach people, to reach them. Remember the heart of Jesus in Matthew 9:36. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It's a perfect description of our world today. A perfect description of our world today. I mean, we are intellectually and technologically more advanced than any other generation that's been on this planet, and we are in a mess. Amen? We're smarter than ever before. We've got more toys and trinkets and you know, whatever than ever before. And the place is in a mess. It's in a mess. Why? Because they're sheep without a shepherd. They're sheep without a shepherd. And who knows? Sheep do dumb stuff. That's what sheep do. That's why they need a shepherd. They're sheep without a shepherd. John 10:14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. And the gospel is the message that can change the world for the better. Absolutely. No question about that. I mean, you want an answer for the Israeli-Gaza battle? Follow Jesus. Want to finish the war in Russia and Ukraine? Follow Jesus. That's the message. That's the answer. They'll fight. They'll fight till there's no one left. But there is an answer. You follow Jesus. Yeah. Not join a sect or you got to be like me and then we'll be. No, 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 no. Follow Jesus. Yeah. Be like Jesus. Look at the teachings that he had. You know, he spoke, he said, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me. We say we follow Jesus. Are you obeying him? Because he said, love one another. He said, I command you, love one another. That's a pretty cool world. Amen? That's a great community. That's a great marriage. That's a great family. Don't join me, follow Jesus. See, the world wants unity at what they want. Be like us or you're out. No, we follow Jesus. We need a shepherd. So we must reach him. We must get this message to where it's needed. But the workers are few. Maybe in history we've left it up to the evangelists. Maybe we should put on more tent crusades. Invite Benny Hinn back. Yeah, Benny, I like Benny. He actually shook my hand once. I was in the Adelaide airport were flying back from a conference, and Benny Hinn walked in with his entourage of people. And I was sitting with my team at this table. I looked across and I said, "Hey, Benny." And he looks up and he said, "Oh, hey." And he thought, he probably thought I was somebody, so he came over. And he said, "Hi, brother." He said, "How are you?" Like, yeah, he doesn't know me, right? bar of soap, he doesn't know me. And I said, "Oh, the conference was great, Benny." I said, "But you missed one very important thing." He said, "Tell me, brother, tell me. I said, "You didn't pray for the Queensland pastors." He said, "I don't know where Queensland is." Oh, it was riveting. You had to be there, folks. He prayed for us. It's not going to happen with another crusade, folks. It's not going to happen with another crusade. No, the answer is that every believer has a plan. Every believer following Jesus has a plan in the marketplace to reach them with a life-changing message, with a world-changing message. You know how I know that? Because he changed my world. He totally changed my world, 100%. 100%. I want that for everybody. If I'd followed my generations, I would have died an early alcoholic like my mother and my father. Dirt poor. 7 kids that they just dragged up. They didn't bring us up. We dragged ourselves up because they were drunk all the time. Oh, he changed my world. You've got to have a plan. But here's the thing. Number two, you must be different. You must be different. The church is struggling with that in this generation. Struggling with that. Now, I don't say the church in history had it right. But we must be different. Look at verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. That's pretty cool. You'd have to agree, these guys, there was something different about them. I mean, they've been stripped, they've been whipped, they've been flogged, they've been put in an inner prison in stocks, in chains. About midnight, shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, amen. Singing praises, praising God. Who does that? That's different. Eldy won't come up with that one. That's different. Now, they're in a prison, so they're not seeing the other prisoners, but they're listening. They know something's going down. Who are these people? And they're in key. Who are these people? I wonder if the ideologies of this world have become so strong that they've shut down the right to speak. Amen? Are you scared of them? You scared of this world's ideologies? If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to be silent. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to be silent with this message, because it's life. It's life. Acts 4, 12 to 13 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Why? Because they were different. They were different. You know, the thing that stands out to me about Pastor Jim and one, I don't know if you call it a favorite saying or whatever it was, but whenever he'd leave you, whenever he'd text you, whatever, he'd say, now go and tell someone about Jesus. Go and tell someone about Jesus. It's the most important thing in this world. Because lives depend on that message. And I'm not talking about Bible bashing people. Who knows, that doesn't work. And who are we anyway to Bible bash anybody? It's not about Bible bashing people, but you know, everyone I meet, I tell them about India. I tell them about the work that Highway does in India and the medical, you know, the thousands of people that are looked after, the kids that are fed, the, you know, the families that are rescued, just the ministries that go on and on and on. And it opens the door to my testimony. It opens the door to my testimony. See, it's hard to refute my testimony when you live a life that's focused on doing good for others. Amen? People respect that. Now, they may not agree with your message. They may not accept your message. But the fact that you are selfless in a selfish world, they respect that. And they'll listen. They'll listen to what you've got to say. We live for a greater purpose. Amen? We live for a greater purpose other than ourselves. The gospel of Jesus Christ. So number three, we're challenged to look for the opportunity. Look for the opportunity. If you look in verse 26, it says here that suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Let me ask you this question. The earthquake, was it natural or supernatural? See, when you look at the geography of that region, they're not prone to earthquakes. Earthquakes aren't a common thing in that region, in that place where this happened. I think the only reason it happened was so that Paul and Silas would use it to get someone saved. I think it was a God plan. I really do. If it was a common earthquake, if they had earthquakes often in that region and all the prison doors were broken open, if people were used to earthquakes, then they would have just left their cell and bolted. This would have been their opportunity. We're out of here. Who wants to stay in prison, right? There's an opportunity. We're out of here. I think that was in such shock. In such shock. Maybe they never experienced an earthquake before, ever. Certainly not to this magnitude, maybe. Where it shakes the whole place, doors come open, and chains come off your feet. I think they were just in shock. And they stayed in their cells. But see, Paul and Silas knew it was a God opportunity. Because they'd just been praying. They had just been praying. Singing praises to God, and then bam, an earthquake comes. 2 Chronicles 9:16 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." I think we don't see the God opportunities because we're not looking for them. And why would we look for them if we don't have a plan? But if we have a plan, if we become intentional about His purpose over our life, we'll start to look for opportunities. And I tell you what, God shows up. God recognizes your faith and He shows up. And earthquakes happen. I love that. I love that. Earthquakes happen. God knew He had men on the ground. See, this is it. God knew He had two men on the ground, primed, ready, with a plan to do what needed to be done. Earthquake. Earthquake. You know what I'd love our church services to be? I would love our church services to be just taken up with testimonies of earthquakes. Testimonies of opportunities every Sunday, one after the other, one after the other. One, you know, where God's plan led people to Christ all through the week. Why? Because he had people on the ground ready. He had people on the ground ready. I wonder, can God count on us like that? In the right place at the right time. We've got to be switched on so that when that opportunity comes, someone will receive Jesus. I tell you what, if God had a group of people like that, we would see revival. You wouldn't need a tent. Wouldn't need Benny. We would see revival. Revival. Because the believers, those who follow him, have a plan. Have a plan every day, every day, every day. And this is the season we're in right now, folks. That's what we're making room for. Okay? Not making room for covered parking, though we do need more parking, let me tell you. Making room for lives to be changed, for people to have an opportunity. So if you love them, invite them. If you love them, invite them. Every service will give opportunity for people to accept Jesus Christ. Every service. Why? Because that's what it's all about. People. Matter of fact, today, you know, today in this service, in this moment, in this time, if there's people here today, you've never said yes to Jesus, now is your opportunity. Now is your opportunity. Have a think about it right now. Just take a moment. Start to think about it. Now, you felt something in this meeting today that you've not felt before. I know that because the presence of God is here. You may not explain it. You may not understand it. But I'm telling you, it's real. It's real. And God is calling you, giving you an opportunity in this moment, in this time, to connect with him. Not to join this church, not to join a denomination, but to connect with Jesus Christ in a real way. Not in some stone God in the atmosphere somewhere kind of relationship. No, 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 on a personal relationship where you as an individual can connect with God one-on-one in a real way. And no one can talk you into that, right? No one can make this thing happen for you. You'll know. You'll experience. Why are we all here today? I could be playing golf. I could be playing golf. But he did something in my life. And I acknowledge him every day. I connect with him every day. And it is real. And it is powerful. And it's for every one of you. We all could be doing something better today, probably. Except for that connection we have with God that brings us alive, sets us free. There'll always be problems, but you're never alone in that. And you become victorious in that. That's living, folks. This is your opportunity. You might say, well, you know, I was raised an Anglican or something like that. Honestly, the Bible said, Jesus said himself to one of the most powerful church leaders of the day, you must be born again. You must be born again. It's not about what you were born into. It's about who you choose right now. And if you choose Jesus, your life begins today. In a brand new way. In a brand new way. That earthquake happens, the chains come off. A brand new start, a brand new start. You say, Pastor, you don't know my life. You don't know what I've done. I'll tell you this, I don't care and neither does God. Because once you say yes to Jesus, your past is wiped away. It is a brand new start. Now, you might carry a bit of guilt But that's your choice, not God's. Please take this opportunity. Are you here today? What I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up in just a minute. And I do that so I can know who you are, for one, so I can pray for you. And number two, then I'll bring you down to the front here and I'll pray for you. And you say, yeah, well, I'll be embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed to do that. Maybe. Maybe. But there's something about making a decision and there's something about acting on that decision. It's powerful. It's life-changing. And then you'll come down here with... bring a family member, a friend, or whatever, I don't care. And we'll pray together. I'll pray for you in this place right now. The first day of following Jesus. And we'll celebrate it. This church will celebrate it with you because it's the greatest day of your life, here and now. Are you ready? Are you ready? Is that you? Let me see your hand right now. Come on, raise up. Say, yep, that's me. I want a brand new start. Where are you? Come on. Where are you? Come on. Up the back there. Thank you, sir. Come on, there's others. You got nothing to lose. Everything to gain. Nothing to lose. But a brand new start. Come on, give me a wave. There's more, I know. There's more. Quickly. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. There are others? Come on. Come on, where are you today? Quickly. Maybe you said a prayer like this a long time ago, but you know your life didn't go that way fully. And now you're back. Now you're back. Now you've done a big, 180 and now you're back. Is that you? I want to pray for you as well. Just raise your hand. Say, yeah, I'm back. Today I'm back. A brand new start. I'm starting afresh. Anybody else? Quickly. Thank you, doll. Somebody else? Thank you, sir. You see, I labor on it not to waste your time, but to give people an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to really knock on that door of their heart. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. We're foolish if we think we do. We've got to live for today. Salvation is today. Come on, last time I'll ask quickly. Anybody else? About three or four that'll lift up their hands. Anybody else quickly? I want to pray for you, quick. Make that decision. Yep, that's me. That's me. That's me. Where are you? That's me. I'm in that. I want a brand new start. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Where are you, quick? Okay. What I want to do, I want to ask those folks who raise their hands, if you would, we'll all stand together, if you would leave your seat. Come on down, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Bring someone with you, friend, family. Come on down. Yep. Where are you? Come on down. Wonderful. Others there, quickly come down. Yeah, come on, put your hands together. This is a celebration. Who was it up there? Was there someone up there? Down here, down here, down here. Is there one more? Here he is. Come on, man. Awesome. Yeah, come on. Stand over here. Just make room for my brother here. Awesome. Wonderful. What we're going to do is we're going to say a prayer. It's really just, I don't know, the key in the ignition. It's just turning the key. That's all this is. The journey's all ahead of you. This isn't the beginning and the end. This is just turning the key, getting it started. And then we go and follow God and change our future for the better. I promise you that. I know this works. I know this works. So we're going to pray together, all of us. And maybe if you're out there and you just never had the courage to put your hand up, you pray this one boldly with us and talk to us after the service. That'd be great. You ready? Come on, let's say this prayer. We're going to repeat it all together. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We say yes to a brand new start, to take the opportunity that you've given us to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. If I can have 5 minutes, which can, Pastor Mel there, if you could just give me 5 minutes with Mel, she'll get some details, get your Bible, get your, and you'll be back in. Like, it won't be an hour thing, it'll be 5 minutes quickly, and take somebody with you, that's fine, that's cool, all right? And we've even got a children's Bible up there, you could have one of those, that'd be cool, all right? And just follow Mel, would that be all right? Just 5 minutes, just go with Mel. Come on, give him a round of applause. Mate, take your seats. Now, folks, I want you to pray this week. You've got to have a plan. We've got to live with purpose, not just exist. Amen? Jesus paid too big a price for us to just exist as a Christian. We live with purpose. There are people in your street. There are people in your family. There are people that you meet at work or different occasions, school, college, whatever it is. I want you to be praying. Say, God, give me an earthquake. God, give me an earthquake. I'm your man on the ground. I'm your woman on the ground right here, right now. Give me an earthquake. Give me an opportunity. Now, you know, it's gonna rattle your comfortable cage, right? But you'll experience life like you've never experienced life. Because when you introduce someone to Jesus, you introduce life. And it flows through you as well. Amen? So if you love them, invite them. Okay, come on, give the Lord a hand this morning.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.